This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas. We are very much live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Ellen Collin.
Welcome back to London Town, Elle.
Thank you. It's freezing.
She's
Harry
been jet-setting all over Dubai, living her best.
I have indeed. 38 degrees, though. That's not bearable.
Don't rub it in.
But I came back whiter because I can't stay in the sun when it's that hot. So, you know.
Good for the skin, good for the skin. But you had a lovely time.
Yes, yes, I did indeed. It was good for the soul.
Did you miss us?
Of course I did. I love being back. I'd rather be here than anywhere.
Ah, we love you. Well, guys, as you know by now, our day ones, that I wasn't going to be here bringing you the tea. But we start our show. So as well as having our celeb interviews, we do a little tea party at the beginning. And it's called Showbiz Goss. And then we have a different journo in. And we find out what is going down in the world of show. But let me just tell you who is coming up on tonight's Access All Areas. So we are joined by Biggs Chris. He's going to be talking all about his appearance on the new Netflix show, Cheat Unfinished Business. Which sounds very intriguing.
It does, yeah.
So I'm going to be asking a lot of what's going on there behind the scenes. We're going to get the 411. It's a new show. We want to know the format. So I'm your boy. We'll get the goss. And then we are joined by Survivor UK 2023, a winner, Matthew Hayward. The tea party I spoke about. We are joined by your guest co-host last week.
Kel,
she kept your chair warm for you.
Did.
We've got Miss Emily back. How are you, darling?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Really good, thank you. Thank you for last week as well. You was amazing.
It was so much fun. It's weird being in this chair.
Musical chairs.
I'm quaking in my boots, guys.
The girls are going to be scrapping. There'll be air extensions all over the studio floor to be Bobby's co-host. Right, Ems, talk to me, honey. What is going down this weekend? What's caught your eye showbiz-wise?
I feel like we have to talk about the Met Gala.
Of course.
Because it was literally, what, are we Wednesday?
We
yes,
are.
It was on Monday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And did you guys see any pics?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, well, I did. Rihanna's pregnant again.
Rihanna is pregnant.
Boom. I know. Mm-hmm. She's amazing. I think her outfit was the best.
She looked incredible.
Yeah.
Some people, I'm like, it was such a cool theme. I don't know whether you guys saw Tiana Taylor, mm. I think that's how you pronounce it. But she looked fucking sick. She had like red velvet, she had like a massive hat, like
wow.
Shoulder pad, she had like a cane. She
oh,
went like,
giving Willy Wonka.
Oh my god, she was like pimp Willy Wonka. Like she went all out. And then people like Hailey Bieber.
What was that about? And
what is she rocking?
And the Jenner, what's her name?
Oh, Kendall.
Kendall Jenner.
Literally.
They showed up as if they were in a club 2000.
Yeah, you know like when you'd wear like a shoe boot, it was that kind of vibe. She had like a blazer. Right?
She was wearing
a blazer dress. Ill-fitting as well.
Trash.
Fire her. Sorry, $75,000 for a ticket and you turn up in a blazer.
Oh, she should be.
I didn't get my ticket. Oh, I'm literally going to WhatsApp Anna Wintour after Access and go, bitch, where's my ticket?
Yeah. Hey, honey.
Next year I'm coming, hon.
Yeah, honestly. That will go down so well with her.
It will. Yeah. I'll tell her she can come on Access and we'll plug
can
it.
Can you imagine? Her sat on a sunglass and a bob.
Oh, yeah. It would give me life. And I'll go, look, you can plug the Met next year as long as I can have a ticket. She'll be well up for that.
Yeah, so it was crazy. Like, I just feel like, I think we discussed it last year, because every year it comes
out. Every year. I'm here for it.
You have the chance. It's art. You have the chance to look incredible when you're turning up in these shitty little suits.
Yeah.
It looks like it's from H&M. Go away.
It literally does. And also, like, even if I was to wear a black blazer dress out, which I do the odd time, but even if I did this year, I'd be like, is this a bit 5 years ago?
Huh? Right?
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just not fashionable, stylish now. And then to see her at the Met Gala
Probably a bit of piss was steaming. I bet she's from girl. Gave you a ticket, let down,
and no accessories. Like some people had canes, top hats, because it was about
nothing.
Like black male style.
You've got
like tailoring.
Yeah,
like who was it? Jenna Ortega. So it was like tailoring was like one of the part of the theme, and she wore a dress made of tailoring tape measures, like rulers.
Yeah,
love it.
That was cool.
Like metal.
You've got to think outside the box.
Exactly. So yeah, but also yeah, Rihanna, she's
brilliant.
A preggers.
Yeah.
Congratulations, we know you're a huge fan of Access.
Well done, girl. I'm like, yay, but also, where is the music?
Yeah,
because this means we're definitely not going to be getting anything anytime soon.
No.
Actually, did you see her fella ASAP MP Rocky, he showed up with a cane, but there was like, it was like a gun holster.
Yes!
Did you see that? See? Like, he just won his court case.
Yes!
Yeah. So on the nose. Like, so I love
though,
it.
In terms of music, I would love there to be more music, like, especially old school Ray Ray, like, pop on the replay days, I'm talking. Yeah. Bitches old enough to know. If you know, you know. The girl's earning enough coins through Fenty,
the
makeup.
Exactly.
She don't even she don't need to pick up a mic and dance.
And she's got the underwear Savage.
Yeah.
She literally doesn't. It's so annoying. Because everyone thought she might be doing Glastonbury, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, did she do the Super Bowl pregnant?
Yeah. Oh, she did. Yeah.
But I just think she thinks about the lot of you. I'm making dough.
I'm making paper.
Right, let's move on. What else in showbiz town has caught your eye?
Apparently, LRA Wise may well be going on Love Island.
Okay. Where's the sauce? What's going on here?
The Sun, so fact.
Factual, okay. Very fact.
So anyone listening that don't know, Ella started out on The Only Way is Essex. I used to work there when I was there. She's recently done Celebrity Big Brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So The Sun, what, this has come out today?
I think it was yesterday.
And they've said Ella's doing Love Island.
It's like she's in talks, like her source has said, etc. And she posted a picture yesterday from the Tower finale saying, Towie over and out. And everyone's like, oh my God, she's saying bye to Essex. Like, she's obviously, it's like rumours, allegedly, et cetera, et cetera. But
so do people think that was a strategic post for
Yeah, they reckon that they did that and she knew that was coming up. I don't know.
When does Love Island start?
Around May. June.
June, and that's the normal people one, not
the celebrities. But Joey Essex went on, didn't he?
Yeah, she could be doing the civilian one, not the normal people. We're all normal,
darling. Speak for yourself, honey.
Yeah, so I think where people thought she was going to have a romance with Chris Hughes on blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that didn't work out, did it?
So now they're like, because Miles from Made in Chelsea is apparently going on the American one.
Fucking hell.
I think after Joey Essex was on it and like caused such a scene and people were talking about it as much as he just wind a lot of people up.
Yeah.
Everyone was talking about it. It got the gossip around Love Island.
Because it would have to be the civilian one. Just going back to Elle's question, because they don't do a celeb one, they do an all-star.
All-stars,
So that means you've had to have been in the villa before. She never has.
Right.
So she would have to go into civilian Love Island.
Yeah.
And be like you say, maybe the role that Joey Essex did before.
Yeah, that's so true. Mm. Actually, I think this would be really good for her because in Big Brother, I don't think she shone like she should have.
I agree,
No.
She didn't get the limelight that she probably should have
because
she's a big character. So maybe this will be helpful to her.
Yeah, so interesting. And I feel like she, on Towie, she's so likable.
Yeah.
And she's obviously gorgeous.
Yeah,
so I feel, and she's like the right age, she's blonde, beautiful, etc. So watch this space.
Watch this space. Moving on.
Beckham fallout? Is this
Bobby?
Bobby, you okay? I know how much you love Beckham.
Love Beckham. So, are we still saying a lead? So, it's been pretty much confirmed that Brooklyn didn't rock up to David's 50th.
Yeah.
Vicky didn't give me an invite. I think she thinks I'm after a man. Fuck knows where she gets that idea.
No one has any idea.
Victoria, I don't want your man. So, no, I didn't get an invite, but a few people did in showbiz.
You said that as if it was one of us.
I know, yeah.
You said a few people did. Yeah.
Not me. But Brooklyn didn't turn up to his dad's 50th. Apparently he's with the wife, Nicola, which has got people going down the rabbit hole of going, is he really just, is the feud so bad between the Beckhams now that he can't turn up to his dad's birthday? And people are kind of comparing it to the likes of when people are having these famous fallouts with parents and they're like kind of cutting new lives, a la like Prince Harry, Meghan Markle style with Charles. Is it going to be like that? You know what it's like, you're a journalist, I'm in the industry, we very much know. It does. I'm guessing it doesn't necessarily mean he's never going to speak to his dad again. People have plans.
It must
plans,
be like a quick feud because they were actually, Brooklyn and Nicola were invited to the Met Gala, and as we saw, they weren't there, so they actually turned it down because of David's birthday.
Oh,
so they were planning on going.
Anna, we're going to talk. So you're telling me two people turned? There was two spare tickets, Anna Winter, and you still didn't slide in Bobby's DMs. Fuming. Sorry, back to the Beckhams.
So that's so strange. I think, like, obviously, whatever happened between them must have happened
after they turned their tickets down.
Yeah.
Did I read somewhere that someone was allegedly a celeb friend was kicked out of the party?
What?
Do we know? Was it?
I've not heard about this.
I saw two prostitutes getting kicked out.
I'm obsessed. Tell me more.
They look fabulous. No.
I was there to do OnlyFans content.
I wasn't going to Dublin.
Wait, they got two. Is that who you fought?
No, it was a celeb that they said was kicked out for I don't know, for drunken behaviour or something.
This is iconic.
I got time. I should have done my research. I didn't know what was on your showbiz notes.
Oh my God.
I'd have known in advance, I would have sorted it out. Come and ask me at the end of the question. I mean, you won't be here.
But, I'll ask you.
You'll ask me at the end of the show.
Please tell me it was Kendall Jenner because she was in an awful outfit.
Yes, who were like, so you wore a suit to the mirror, you're not allowed to come?
Yeah, no, what you're wearing is stupid.
Anything else, and if I can find something by the end of the showbiz section, I'll bring it up. Talk amongst yourselves.
I don't know whether you've seen the bitches, the Kanye Piers Morgan interview. I watched a bit of it, and then I was like, I can't with either of those people.
So annoying.
So I can't even stomach watching them talk to each other.
Oh my God. If they just threw Donald Trump in the mix, it would just be a perfect cesspit of like annoyance.
Oh my God, right. Irritating men.
Yeah, so annoying. But why even interview Kanye? Like, he knew that was probably going to go south. Like, he has a God complex that's bigger than
major.
His talent.
Because his talent is zero.
Yeah, like, he's still riding on the coattails of his, like, first album or something. It's like,
honestly,
go away.
It's crazy. And I think that, why did Kanye agree to do it? Did he plan on walking out? Like...
Did you see Pierce said afterwards that they were meant to do the day before? They sent all crew out to Mallorca to interview it, and he cancelled it that day because he had a busy phone call. Then he rescheduled it, then cancelled it again, and this was their third time trying to do the interview, and it lasted like 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. He called him a big baby now and he stormed off.
It sounds familiar though, doesn't
it? I know, yeah, it does, literally.
Storming off is his thing. Did you find out?
No, I ain't got enough time to get my journo out.
He's actually sweating.
Trying to be a journo, but I've just literally 30 seconds is not enough to do it on a cliffhanger. But looked a lovely part. David looked a salt, if you don't mind me saying, Victoria, I'm sorry. Victoria looked beautiful. I mean, I love Victoria.
Gorge, she's gorgeous.
Just because I fancy your man, it don't mean I don't love you.
I also think everyone fancies her man.
Everyone fancies her, but I'd actually rather live with Victoria. Think of the bags, the shoes, the house.
She seems funny.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
Like, she seems like she knows what people think about her and she just kind of relishes
that. I think
that.
The joke's on us. I think behind the scenes, she's meant to be a very funny, lovely girl.
Yeah.
And I think she plays into the not smiling thing.
Totally. 100%.
Fair play.
Yeah, I love it.
She has her walls.
How can you wake up with David Beckham every day and not smile?
I know.
I'd be an happy bitch.
I'm like, rolling over in bed, you'd be like,
But I love Victoria. I would rather share a bed with Victoria. I love you, man. For catch-ups. But living-wise, Victoria, I'll be your flatmate.
Besties.
any one more time for the... One more time.
One more time.
Well, I was going to ask you... Have you watched the Kanye West and Piers Morgan? Have you seen any of it?
No, I haven't.
But you'd enjoy it.
I'm going to. So has this been released this week?
Yeah, well, only 30 seconds of it because he stormed off. He basically... So it's the very first... Like 2 seconds of the interview, Pierce gets his amount of followers wrong. He says, "Oh, you're the most followed person on Twitter or something."
Yeah, yeah,
he's like, "You've 33 million followers." And then Kanye's like, "Incorrect. Oh, get it right. You're meant to be a journo. How many followers?" Oh. So he got it wrong by 1 million. It's like 34
And did he ever
million.
Come back into the interview?
He basically berated Pierce of being a shit journalist for like a good 30 seconds to maybe a minute. And then he stood up and walked away.
Wow.
His ego just couldn't handle it.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And is this filmed post everything that's come out with the song allegedly talking about his cousin and what's gone down with that?
I think it must have, because if they were going to film it a few days before, it must have literally just been, was it live? It must have just come out
now. So I imagine
it'd
be quite a brave thing to, I mean, speaking out about it, but there was no way Piers Morgan ain't going to bring that up. He ain't there just to talk about followers on social media. Yeah.
That's the thing. I wonder what Kanye West thought the conversation was going to be about. Like, because you don't interview someone without some sort of subject matter or something you're promoting. So what was he thinking that
Especially
it was going to be?
Especially days or a week after
you announced
something's come out.
Yeah, something like that. Exactly.
Yeah, we ain't there to talk about Twitter followers.
No. Well, Piers said afterwards he was hoping to talk to him about the Nazi stuff and why is he anti-Semitic. So they never got to those questions.
No.
They would have been interesting to hear his answers.
I wonder if someone like Kanye West gets the questions before.
Probably not.
Because we so many times have to let the person we're interviewing what the questions are, at least the subject matter and the type of questions, and does he just go...
I don't really like doing that.
Yeah.
I think because on both sides of the coin, I mean, obviously, on a Wednesday evening, when I'm in my presenting hat... Mm. and behind the mic. I very much get, but I also very much get where I'm being interviewed by journalists. I'm on red carpets. So I kind of put two hats on. I kind of had the person that side of the camera being interviewed. But I also, I'm not a fan of people having copy approval.
No.
I think it takes away the organicness of an interview.
I agree. Yeah. It lacks sincerity, doesn't it?
Because 9 times out of 10, someone's agent will reach out and they go, but she wants, he wants copy approval. And I feel, no, because basically you're just getting a fucking advert out of me.
Yeah.
Because anything you say that is going to make the interview good, you're going to go actually at the end of it. Can you take that out?
Yeah, exactly.
And just 100%. Plug my fake tan and my eyelash range, whatever. Don't read into that. Whoever's got them ranges, I'm not saying that. Because they'll be fucking Sherlock Holmes at home. But it kind of, I just think that's how it is. But different horses for different courses. It's all love.
Yes. Yeah, I doubt this
until
morning.
It's no.
I doubt this morning do that, like send over their questions and get them pre-approved. Otherwise, they'd be nobody on the show.
No, but also like if I'm being booked to do, if I was going on this morning, I'm going on loose swimming, whatever. Yeah. I know generally what I'm there for. It's never a shock. They don't. You don't just walk into ITV.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they go, do you want to do an interview? Like you have a rough idea why you're there, but I don't think you should be given a step by step.
If you're in an explosive relationship, if you're in a relationship that everyone knows about, you must know people are going to ask you about it.
Yeah. And when you say, oh, sorry, we can't talk about that, you're like, okay, well, don't come on the show. Thanks so much.
Exactly.
The funniest thing is sometimes I've got to think about how I'm going to word this. I always find it the funniest that someone might be known for a certain show that they've been on for a very, very small window of time.
Was this your friend?
And I'm laughing because it still fucking cracks me up. And then the agent will email a producer, whatever it is, or an editor if it's a magazine or here at a radio, or not here but at radio stations. And then they'll go, it's fine that they can do the interview, but they don't really want to talk about that show. What the one thing that we know them for?
The one thing that made them famous.
Yeah. Can we not talk about that?
Yeah, it's like, what do you talk about?
It's gonna be a long 20 minutes.
Yeah, your grandmother's dog. Yeah, like, what's his name?
Should we talk about star signs?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I could have a 20-minute conversation.
I may not love star signs, but I'm not down on Brighton Pier giving out palm readings. You know what I mean?
That would be iconic. If you were doing palm readings, I'd be like, yes.
Yeah.
So, guys, sorry, no palm readings, but I might throw one in next week. Ems, thank you very much. Thank you again for being my guest co-host last week.
Thank you so much.
Guys, we're going to take a little break, and then we are going to be joined, and we're going to be hearing all things from Biggs Chris. So, guys, we will see you in two.
Fubar Radio. Access All Areas continues next. Fubar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on Fubar Radio.
Let's go back to the beginning. A mortgage advisor. What does a mortgage advisor do?
So, the main purpose of a mortgage advisor is to help you to achieve the best possible mortgage solution on time and first time. Typically, in the modern day, it's somebody who's going to hold your hand through the full home buying process, liaising with solicitors, estate agents, helping with insurance, and being in your corner on your team to make sure you achieve that goal.
You're listening to Fubar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The Fubar Radio app. Get it today.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
What the Health with Georges Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Up now is Efren Mason-Clark, professional footballer. You got the chance to work under Frank Lampard. Just tell me a little bit about him.
The first day he came in, it was just like, the word isn't starstruck, but it's just like, this is a legend in not just English football, but football in the whole world. So at the start, you know, it was more of like, wow. And then it's like you just switch off from being a fan to this is like the gaffer now.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Maura Higgins.
That's a Geordie Shaw thing.
Has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean, I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some veneers because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access All Areas.
Guys, welcome back to Access All Areas. I'm Bobby Norris and we're joined via Zoom by Biggs. So we're going to talk Love Island and we're going to be talking this brand new Netflix show. Biggs, how are you, mate?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Thank you for coming on Access All Areas.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
So, fill us in. Basically, obviously, we've got to come to Love Island. There's so much we want to ask you. But for anyone that's not seen advertised or might not have seen the Netflix show, can you fill us in on what's the format? What's the 411 when it comes to cheat, unfinished business?
Woof! So, basically, cheat, unfinished business is where there's eight couples and they confront their ex to tell them that they cheated on them. Unfortunately, I was one of them that cheated on my partner. I'm not proud of it. But can I be honest? I learned so much from that show. I needed it.
Yeah. And who was your ex that you cheated on? Was that Rebecca?
Yeah, Rebecca was my ex. So.
And did she just find out on the show? Or is that why you broke up?
Yeah, so there were speculations that I cheated. And also, there were speculations that Rebecca cheated. So I thought I was going on there to find out that she cheated on me. And I was going to use that opportunity to tell Rebecca that I cheated on her. But, yeah, that wasn't the case.
So she didn't cheat on you at all?
She didn't.
Oh,
so everyone in your situation, do they not know that their ex is there to expose them?
Sorry, so some of them knew, so they came back to try and fix it. Yeah, so some couples, they knew already.
I might have to go and see this too. Have you got the producer's email address? Do you feel like you...
With a lot to unpack.
Do you guys think that you got some kind of... I mean, well, you're the one that cheated. But do you think she got closure finding out about it? And did it make you feel better being truthful?
You know what? I'll be honest.
Please.
My whole life I've been lying, I can't lie, but since this show, speaking truth, like telling her the truth, was the best thing that's happened to me.
Is that more lies? Is that bullshit lies?
No, I swear.
Because you're a very good looking lad, and I can't imagine. I mean, we're friends here, but I'm not digging you out. But you're a good looking boy. I can't imagine you've not cheated before in a relationship. I think that girls would find you attractive. I think they slide in your DMs. I think you see them on a night out. You've got a lovely smile. You've got a lovely set of teeth. I think that you might, I don't know, just in my gallbladder somewhere, I think you might have maybe been a bit of a naughty boy before.
No, that's what I'm trying to say. So my whole life I've been like that. I've been a bad boy. But
yeah.
From this show, I'm never, ever messing up again.
Wow. You kind of got to say that after you've been on a TV show for cheating on
anyone.
Because you're never getting a date again if you don't say
that's
that.
So true.
I love the honesty though, mate.
What have you learned then? How what are you taking away from the show that you'll implement into your future relationships?
So basically, see, I'm the type of guy to not, I hate complaining. And see, when a girl's doing something wrong, I don't ever complain. I don't tell them. I just keep in my mind, I'll tally it up and then I'll leave. So they wouldn't know why I left. Does that make sense? But no, anything I see wrong, I'll make sure that I voice it out. There's nothing wrong with voicing out. Like if you, if something isn't right, just let your partner know.
Yeah. And where do where do you and Rebecca stand now after you've aired things out?
Poof. I think we're good. I think, yeah.
Would you ever go there again?
Nah. You know what? I respect her and I regret what I did, but after what she did, that was messed up. I couldn't go back there.
Wait, what does she do?
When she, Rebecca ended up getting with one of the guys on the show.
Oh, so she cheated too?
Basically.
Oh. Oh, God. Messy,
it's
guys.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Biggs, I want to ask, because obviously everyone originally knew you from Love Island back in 2020. Yeah. And you dated influencer Summer Hawkins. And you went on to have a son together in 2023. And then you broke up just before she gave birth. How are things with you and Summer now?
So everything is so much better now. Obviously, it was an unfortunate situation.
Mm-hmm.
She left, she walked out, but I don't want to go too much into it. But it was.
I'm going to go into a little bit of successful areas. Biggs, did you cheat on Summer?
No.
The first girl you never had.
So I didn't. No, a lot of people figured, but that wasn't. No, I didn't cheat on her. It was just a situation, but she left. But can I be honest? It was the best thing that happened to me, as crazy as it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
We're so much better. We co-parent. My son is just the best thing that's happened to me.
Mm.
Love that. What you mentioned a couple of times in that, like the situation with someone. What was the situation? Because you'd come from Love Island. She's an influencer. So it means people on social media are going to have stuff to say. That's inevitable when you've come from a reality show and your relationship's out there. How did you find that side of it? And what's the situation you're talking about? Just for us guys that don't kind of know the full 411.
Where do I start? It's just...
the beginning.
it was a build-up of things. That's what she said. It was a build-up of things that she wasn't happy. My family didn't know she was leaving.
Oh.
So the day that she left, because obviously she moved to Scotland.
Mm.
She's from Bristol. I hate talking about this too.
I wanted you to have your right to reply, but I can see you're getting emotional when I'm not here.
It was never the plan. It's something that she blindsided me, basically. I always wanted just one baby mum. We live together forever, happy, get married. But that wasn't the situation.
Life work. You can't be hard on yourself for that. Just because you wanted that, like, don't be too hard. Life sometimes just doesn't work out, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Not like
and there's nothing wrong with having a couple of baby mums. You're still young. You've got some lead in that pencil, I'm sure.
No spread the seed.
You don't want no more children.
No, I want kids, but it just needs to be my wifey. That's it. I can't do this.
So did you find your potential future wifey on this show?
Hell no. No.
No love interests?
No. There's a couple nice girls there, but just, not for me.
How did it work behind the scenes? Obviously, someone that's done Love Island, I kind of get it off. I've had my experience with reality TV, shall we say, over the years. How did you find the two? How do they compare from Love Island to this new Netflix show? I would drop the name again, but it's just a bit of a mouthful with Venice. You know what I mean? Three words, it's too long.
Yeah. So I feel like with the Netflix, with the show, it was it's quite intense. Mm-hmm. I feel like Love Island's so chilled. You get me? There's games and it's just way more chilled. Whereas the Netflix series was quite intense and also it's different. Love Island, you're chasing girls. That's fun. Mm-hmm. But this the Netflix show is more like I cheated on my ex, so how do you have fun with that?
Yeah. Do you worry about your reputation now going forward after coming out and, you know, airing your warts and all on Netflix?
See, and I'll be honest, listen, right? I went in as a villain. I was a bad guy. I cheated. But I came out a victim. Like, my messages I'm getting where people are feeling sorry for me for what Rebecca did, it's just, Rebecca just handled it very, very badly. She didn't go away. Like, she didn't, she messed up.
Did she mess up on the show or did she confess?
She stolen. So one, right? She got with another guy and the guy was there to obviously fix it with his ex. So she hurt me and she hurt another girl.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's messy.
Yeah. How has she reacted to it since it's gone on air? Like, has she contacted you publicly? Because obviously she's now seeing, as you're getting these messages on social media, I'm sure the same people are messaging her, calling her out, the ones that are telling you, oh, God bless your heart. She must be seeing that people didn't kind of like the way she moved.
Yeah, a lot of people, oh, my God. If you see her post, anytime she posts something, people are hating on her. I do feel bad, but the thing is, Rebecca, she should have... The same thing happened in Love Island. So she stole another girl's man, and a lot of people didn't like her for that.
Yeah, girls frown upon that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, girls just don't like it.
I know. It's just a nick.
It's a bit of a nick.
It is a bit.
Yeah. Rebecca's a nice girl. Have you guys met her?
Not yet.
I think I might have met, I think.
Really?
I'll get about, mate. I won't lie to you.
We might have her on next week.
So how have you found it? Because I always, and I haven't actually asked this for a few weeks, but I used to always ask about, like, social media. Fascinates me. I love it. It does have a bit of a dark side, as your ex might be finding out now by the girls that weren't feeling the way she moved. But let's talk DMs and what goes down in them. Because I know I get sent a lot of dick pics, Big, so I won't lie to you. Now, I think people know their market. I can't imagine you get many Corys sent in the DMs. Mine's flooded with them. Dick here, dick there, dick everywhere. Do you get girls, do you get the odd little tit whacked out?
You know what? I'll be honest. I've had a few, but...
Tits or dicks? Tits or dicks?
Can I be honest? Both, but... Yeah.
Wow. This should be a new game show we introduce to show. Tits or dicks?
I've had both, but yeah, I don't respond to them.
No. Would you ever date someone that messaged you on social media? Someone slid in your DMs and said, like, no naked photos first, but they went, oh, I like your profile, you're a little bit of a salt, do you want to go for steak and chips, or if you're a vegan, I don't know, cauliflower. do you want to go out on Saturday night? Would you go out with a fan?
You know what? I would. Yeah, I would. If
she was good looking, he was about to say. her personality shone true.
Yeah.
So, I'm presuming you're still on the hunt then for the one, for love. Are you on the apps, on the dating apps?
No comment.
Oh, we'll have to check.
So how do you feel? You've got a couple of shows under your belt. You're a little bit pro now at the old reality TV game. What's the next show? If I was your agent and I said, Biggs, mate, what are we doing? What show do you want? Who am I emailing Monday morning to try and get you booked?
Oh, you know what? I would do Big Brother.
Ooh. Big Brother.
Big Brother would be cool. Yeah,
that would be a good one.
Who would you like to be in the house with? I've literally got 30 seconds left, so keep it short and sweet. Tell me two people you'd like to be in the house with. You're going in Celebrity Big Brother. Who are you living with? Who do you want?
You know what? I think 50 Cent would be a cool one.
Ah, wouldn't it?
That'd be good.
Yeah, don't know if it's realistic, but it'd be a good one. Anyone else? What, time for one more name?
I can't even. Simon Cowell.
Again, unlikely, but God loves a trier. Mate, thank you so much for coming on. Always a pleasure. Keep up your happy-go-lucky kind of guy. Glad to see you that the show ain't grind your gears too low. Take care. Bye, Biggs. Look after yourself. Bye, mate.
Fubar Radio.
Access All Areas continues next. Fubar Radio.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
the lovely Matt Phipps.
Hello. The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being, like, making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so
Amen.
Good. So good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
My friend the other day, she was like, how tall is your mum? And I was like, oh, she's 6 feet under. Yeah, they did not know what to do with that. Yeah. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
If you drink a little, then drive, you risk losing your licence. You risk every day becoming more complicated.
How am I supposed to get to training, Dad? How am I supposed to...
You risk losing your job.
I'm going to have to let you go.
You risk your family not looking at you the same way.
I can't believe you did that.
You risk injuring someone.
Hello, I need an ambulance.
You risk being seen as a drink driver. Drink a little, risk a lot. Think.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone, and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you, what an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you'd never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly, I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part, because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome back to Access All Areas. I'm Bobby Norris, and I've been joined in the studio by Matthew Hayward, the Survivor UK winner and TikTok sensation. Matthew, how are you?
I'm brilliant, thank you. Good to be here. I love a trip to London, and it's been good so far.
We wish it was a little bit hotter. It has been sunning it up in Dubai. We had them couple of lovely days, but it ain't been very hot. But it's dry, Matthew.
I don't like it too hot, though, because I sweat quite, like, in this denim jacket and stuff. It's too hot.
And London Underground ain't no fair. Yeah. We're in a heat wave, which we are for about 4.5 minutes a year.
Yeah, it's a bit grim.
So, Matthew, talk to us. So much I want to ask you.
Yeah.
But firstly, was you a TikTok sensation before Survivor, or which way did it come about?
So for me, rewind maybe March 2023, I didn't even have TikTok on my phone.
Okay.
And I'd never done a reality show or anything. And I was just sitting in, I was at university in Manchester, and I seen an ad to apply for Survivor UK. And I was at a bit of a crossroads in my life of, I don't know where I want to be. I kind of fell out of love with my degree, and I was, I didn't know where, I had nothing to lose. And I think sometimes when you've got nothing to lose, the only way is up. So I applied for Survivor, and then kind of, I feel like with a lot of reality shows, I made a TikTok and tried to promote it on there. But then, kind of after the show, I just grew my TikTok, which is really exciting. I love it. I'm obsessed.
Amazing.
I was a little bit late to the TikTok party back in the old Panny D. I downloaded it and did a couple of the old cringy dances that we all did in a pandemic, because I was just balls deep into Homes Under the Hammer and Four in a Bed. And as much as I love them shows, 7 days a week, it bore the tits off me.
Yeah.
So I did a couple of TikToks, and then I never opened the app again for months, maybe years. And I'd say less than a year I've been trying to do it more, but I feel like I've gone down the rabbit hole with TikTok, and I'm a little bit obsessed.
Yeah, you could go down the rabbit hole, though. Sometimes I'm watching videos and I'm like, why am I even watching this video. Yeah. I'm not even interested in the video.
Yeah. No. You'd lose hours on the app. Yeah. Like, it's really addictive. It's more addictive than all of the other apps combined.
Yeah.
So what do you mostly do on your TikTok? Do you speak about like mental health and advocate for that?
Yeah, so for me with TikTok, first and foremost, my dream since I was an actual child has just been to entertain, perform, and just kind of, I think it's that thing of being seen that I think a lot of creatives have. And so I made the TikTok, and I wanted to kind of like document my travel, so I done lots of like solo travelling in Europe. And with the solo travelling kind of come a lot of like being okay in your own, in your own company, and learning to be okay and moving around the world, because not everyone, we live in a generation now where you're comparing everything on Instagram, everyone's always out with the mates, someone's always on holiday. And I think what I want to show on my TikTok is that if you can be by yourself and you can do things, and people comment and they're like, why are you so happy, why are you happy to be by yourself? And I think I'm a people person, I love being with people, I have loads of friends, but I'm also comfortable to be alone.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you can find your true happiness, when you are, if you can be comfortable in your own skin by yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of people struggle going out for dinner by themselves. Like, they're like, I could never solo travel because I couldn't sit in a restaurant and eat. And you're like, what? Like, that's my favourite thing to do. I'm my own best company.
Yeah. I think for me, because I'm an only child, I love my friends. Mm-hmm. I love being with people, but I very much love my own time. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any shame in going, because a lot of my mates would be mortified to go for dinner.
Yeah.
But I think the nature of my job, I'll get booked to do jobs sometimes around the world.
Yeah.
I've literally flown to South Africa, I've flown to New Zealand, Australia, all on my own.
Yeah.
I mean, turning left if someone's paying is always nice. Do you know what I mean? Have a glass of Moët take off, kind of turn it into a bed, knock yourself out. But I don't mind. I like travelling. I've never done it not for work, but I think I could. I do get a bit worried after 5 days. I mean, I've gone to Turkey to, I don't know, about see a man about a dog. but I've got to have teeth and hair done. Shocker, exclusive. But I really quite like my own company.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be said for when you can spend time with yourself and be in your own head and your own feelings. But because I'm just on TikTok when I'm on my own.
I've kind of always been doing it, like, even before Survivor and before I had a platform, I like made a spaghetti bolognese in my house and I was about to sit down and eat it, but I took it to the cinema in a little Tupperware and ate it by myself in the cinema. You get the worst.
I love that.
Now, it smells though, doesn't it? When you open the box, spaghetti bolognese.
At least it wasn't tuna or salmon or something. I mean, it's spag ball.
I think I posted that on TikTok, or it was on one of the other social medias, Instagram. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I mean, I'm not opposed to sometimes we've all grabbed a meal, do you want a train? Or a tube, do you know what I mean? But I think non-offensive foods. Sat on the London Underground, couldn't believe my eyes. I thought Jeremy Beadle was going to jump out. I mean, I know he can't, bless him, RIP and all that. Cracked open a tin of tuna in front of me and ate it. On a London Underground, no fresh air, no aircon.
Oh, God.
I thought, nah, I ain't having this.
That's not right.
It is. It's disgusting. No. Disgusting.
Not true. I took a Chinese on a train once, and that really didn't go down well.
Did people call you? I mean, Chinese. I wanted to call them out for the tuna. Did someone call you out for the Chinese?
No one actually calls you out. I feel like people are just fixated in their own lives, really. Yeah. No one actually cares, but people were moving away.
Yeah, so it's always a sign. You know. Yeah.
People, especially in London, will just think you're a weirdo, so they'll be afraid to say anything. They'll just get off at the next stop.
They're scared of the crazy guy with the Chinese.
That's it. Yeah,
So do you think because you're comfortable in your own skin, you like to solo travel and that kind of stuff, yada, yada, did you have less fear going on to Survivor? Because you can kind of, I mean, not that you're on your own, very much the opposite. You have a load of strangers. Mm-hmm. But you could have got to that island and ate every single fucking person on there. So you want to spend time on your own. Did that make you think, I'm going to sign up for it for that reason? Because that's a little bit, to go and live with strangers, that takes some big balls.
Yeah, it's one of them opportunities. It's like a money can't buy opportunity. And I think... I was ready. I was 21. I'm 22 now, and I was 21 when I went on the show. I was the youngest contestant, and I knew that my kind of narrative on the show was going to be youngest contestant, and I knew people would underestimate me in there. So I went there, and I'm a people person. I was like, one of my best mates, she was in her 50s, and the other was in the 30s, like literally all ages. And I just kind of embraced that and just like, now I have some of the best, all my best friends, they live all over the country, they're all ages, and we're all meeting up for a wedding this weekend. So
is that the first time we've all seen each other since?
Yeah, so we met like in London for some drinks while the show was airing, but probably it's been over a year now, so it's exciting.
Can you be on that island with people, and as much as you love them, again, someone that likes their own time, is there anywhere on or not, do you think, I want my own space for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, where you can pick yourself up and go somewhere else? Own space being just to gather your thoughts, maybe, I don't know, to gather something else for a few minutes. The lads, do they need time to go and have a little work, have a little chat of themselves, a little bro bonding.
Yeah, we on the show, because like the people who are in the show, like you vote each other out and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like I was scared to say the wrong thing to people because it's a social game. If I call someone like an idiot or something, they'll probably vote me out. So I would often like go to where we would get water at the well, and I'd just sit there for like 20 minutes by myself and just, so I didn't like, because you don't want to snap at anyone or kick off, because the second you kick off, you get voted out. And I was there. Like I wanted to live the full experience.
Yeah, you had to toe the line. And you actually ended up winning $100,000, is that right?
Yeah, true.
Do you still have the money or is it spent?
No, I'm quite sensible with like money. I've tried to I've invested it, and I'm like investing it myself as well, like doing lots of travelling and stuff. But like it was quite life changing for me winning that, because I was just like a broke student, like honestly not a penny to my name before I went on that. It was I couldn't even afford food in the airport on the way to the show. It was like mad. It was mad.
I'm a big, good things happen to good people. Yeah. You've got a lovely energy about you. A really nice aura. And I know if I was on an experience like that, I think you'd be a very calming, lovely person to have there.
I really appreciate that.
I really mean that.
And you actually channel that energy now into, you go around to schools, is that right? And speak to students and try to be a positive influence?
Yeah, so I've been to I think it's like 6-7 schools now since the show. And I'm just trying to really, I just think to be a man in this generation is so there's so much pressure on men to conform to what a man is or what society thinks a man is. And I think the second you realise you don't have to conform to that, that's when the pressure's lifted. So I'll go into schools and I see these children, and I think the school system is a little bit broken anyway, in terms of, unless if you're not academic and you maybe are a bit creative, you end up missing out, and them kids end up getting punished. And I've been into the areas where the kids who are struggling with school are, and I'm chatting to these kids firsthand, and they've got a lot of passion, they've got something to give, but school sometimes doesn't bring that out of them. So maybe me going into schools is opening their eyes to, I can do stuff on TV, I can radio, and I'm travelling on my TikTok, I'm doing adventures, and their eyes are opening to it. And it is exciting, hearing it from somebody who's maybe, who went to their school as well, especially in my area.
Who they've watched and can follow on social media doing exactly that. Yeah. So you mentioned you're 22, so I'm obviously about a year or two older than you. But I know very you don't believe it, do you? You don't believe I'm 23.
He laughed a little too hard, Bobby.
You're fucking 23, all right. But back in my day, when we used to have, I don't know if you're allowed him anymore, I guess there's something similar, but at schools you'd have a career advisor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very much into performing arts. Yeah. Shocking. I know. And I remember being caught in there going, what would you love to do? And I was like, I love acting, I love performing, I'd like to go down that road. Remember my dream, I used to always want to be on EastEnders. Never forget, look me in the eye, and I went, well, that's just not a realistic job, is it? And I was like, but there are people that are on EastEnders.
So somebody's doing it. It's possible.
Exactly that. They went, no. It's really got to be flight attendant or hairdresser, to take your pick. I don't know why they suggested them two jobs to me, hairdresser and flight attendant. I don't know what the common denominator is between them. Shocking.
To be fair, they were the only kind of creative jobs back in the day.
I don't think it was because they was creative. I don't think it was creativity that they saw when they looked at Bobby Norris.
But when I come off Survivor, I'm quite open with my feelings, and I knew that coming off a reality show, I knew I was going to feel like I didn't have a purpose and what's next, because you make that reality show. That was my life for a full year. And I realised that coming off, and I knew I had passions, and I'd done, before Survivor, I was doing acting classes, and I loved music and performing and presenting and kind of motivational speaking. I knew what my passions were, and it's just about finding a direction to take that. And that's the same whether you want to be in this kind of creative industry or whether you want to be a doctor, a teacher. You just need to know the direction to put the passion. So kids,
absolutely.
I think there's a good message to spread to kids, and I love young people, really meeting them and learn about
passion. How did you find the show? Cause again, and I think they've come a long way back from when I started reality TV, and I'm not going to name particular shows. And some shows are better than others with duty, okay? But times have changed over the last, I did my first reality show 15 years ago, so we're learning a lot more. Sadly, we've lost too many people because of reality TV, but the duty of care is a lot better than it ever was. Mm-hmm. How do you feel, someone that's so passionate about mental health and you use your platform to help others, which is an amazing thing. How did you find your duty of care? Because some people can leave an experience like reality TV and they go, do you know what, especially when it comes to the edit, we know the nature of TV shows, you're filming morning, noon and night, they can't physically show it all because the show would be, especially in your case, about 15 years. Do you know
what I mean? Honestly, it probably would be.
So you, do you feel you was looked after? Was there aftercare? Psych? That kind of stuff?
Yeah, no, there was a long process, obviously, you'll know yourself, like, before you go on the show, and you see lots of, like, loads of, like, psych assessment, and always, like, even when you're filming, you are on a, like, remote island, but before every challenge that we were put through and that, you'd see a doctor and you'd see a producer that would, like, just chat to you one-on-one kind of thing. So it was really good, and even after the show, they put me through, like, weeks of, like, psych. And I think, for me, my worst fear was to get voted off first, but... even winning, even like winning the show, it's the best possible outcome. You're still like you. I was starved like on an island, and I was. It was real. Like I come home, and I'd say maybe for a year after. It's only the past few months that my eating's become normal again. Like I was going through like heavy binging, and then I was doing like 95-hour fasts coming off the show as well. Wow. So it was like, but I was either eating everything or nothing, and it was just because like you. I lost 3 stone when I was on the show. So, like, when I got back, everyone was saying, God, you're looking great. You're looking really good. And then you see yourself put maybe another stone on, and then you're thinking, oh, people think I'm fat. People. So that was, like, a bit of a mental battle. But, yeah, the BBC and like, the production company, really good with aftercare. And, yeah, they looked after me.
It is quite worrying that society has it. And it is just sometimes a natural thing. And I think everyone's guilty of it to some extent, but... even if someone's had food poisoning for a few days, and you can genuinely, don't recommend it, but you can lose a few pounds. Like when you're in bed, literally being ill, we won't be graphic, and you go to work a few days later, you can physically see in people's faces and body that they've lost some weight. An illness, people go, God,
you look great.
She's fucking looking
great. I know, that's so bad.
But it's kind of like some of these people have been so ill. Like, and to lose 3 stone, someone's reaction, but that's, I think, condition of the world we live in now. You can lose 3 stone, someone goes, and he's fucking looking amazing. Actually, I was probably very malnutritioned. I would have loved a KFC or a Big Mac.
I was dying sick.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's about realising that I was probably one end of the spectrum and now I'm probably more normal, but normal feels not as good as it was. But that's the same for lots of different things as well, not just like losing weight and like...
No.
Like everything.
Did you find your other cast members had that same kind of experience when they lost weight and then they came out? Were they trying to maintain the weight loss or were they kind of happy to put the weight back on?
Yeah, like I was speaking to a few of them and they were saying they feel the exact same. They felt like, you feel like you've gained a lot of weight, like, but obviously you're just putting a little bit more weight on than... than you lost. But we can connect, and I think it's good when you share an experience like that. We've all kind of been through it. There's 18 of us. And so that's why it'll be nice all getting together this weekend and just having, like, they're the only people that really know. And you're like, you know,
no one else will ever get that. Even if they then do a year after and they do the same show, they'll never know the experience that group of people have had. Like, I know from when I did Celeb SAS last year, even though people will do it this year and people have done it prior years, you'll never be in that group. And
that
what you kind of
group,
and that bond that you make with people, you would say that could be older when people in their 50s, 30s. I mean, I would sit there with the former Prime Minister. My paths don't roll like that. I don't sit there with Boris Johnson's sister at the end of my bed. Do you know what I mean? That's not my... Well, I'm nobody slut dropping in the sugar rut. So you kind of... But I think you learn a lot about yourself. Yeah. And when you don't have food, like the things we take for granted... And I think this is how shallow, again, not shallow, I just think the world we live in. I remember thinking it was a huge deal to not have my mobile. When they went, well, you're going to have to hand your phone in before you go in. And I thought, God, well, I'm on it morning, noon and night. And I was going, it's my banking, my emails, it's work. It's scrolling socially endlessly, really.
Yeah.
But you try and play it up to, well, it's for work purposes.
My emails.
I found it so refreshing. After a day or two, I didn't think twice about it.
But did you find... So when I first got to, like, the Holden Hotel and I had to give my phone away, I felt so anxious for that first night. It was the next morning as well. You wake up in the hotel and I was like, didn't have a phone. It was horrible. But then when we come out of the experience, I didn't switch mine on for 2 days.
No, it's the most lovely feeling. Because when they give it back to you, and I was like, I didn't want to look at it because I kind of thought, I'm loving this experience, not having it. It's not until I spoke to, I think, the psychiatrist after SAS or something, and I'm very honest, I'm like you, I'm always on social, I don't pretend to have a perfect life, because I don't think anyone's life's perfect.
Yeah,
we all have good days, we all have bad days. And I'm very honest, though, that the last thing I look at night, it's on my bedside table, is my phone. So I'm setting my alarm. Again, I'm scrolling Instagram.
It's the same, honestly the same.
And before my foot steps on the floor in the morning, I've got my phone in my hand. And the definition of an addiction is something that's not at hand's reach. And if I've not got my phone at hand's reach, I can feel, not being dramatic here, but I can feel like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, it bothers me. Are you addicted? I've got 30 seconds before I end the show. Someone that's big on social.
Here we go.
Do you freak out if your phone isn't near now?
I listen to podcasts 24/7, even in the shower. Like through night, I wake up in the night, the podcast playing. I always have to hear something, so yeah. That, I think that does show I am addicted to my phone. But I don't want that to be the case, and I do try and get out there in nature, and I try and have like less time on my phone. I do lots of adventures and stuff. So yeah, I just think it is. Phones are good for a lot of things, but then also bad for another.
Absolutely. Like,
I'm talking fast. I know every time.
Thank you so much for coming in, and guys, I've got 10 seconds left. Maybe try a digital detox, but not on a Wednesday 6 till 7 because it's Access All Areas time. Take care. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love you, babe.
Food Bar Radio.